Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. We understand business. Choose the bank that's here to help you rise to today's business challenges and tomorrow's.
Certain settings enhance a particular hobby. Watching films from the comfort of home pales in comparison with watching them on the big screen or at the cinema. It's not just the outing, but it's the little things that go with it. A large drink, a box of popcorn, or just the act of going to the cinema takes the whole entertainment to another level. Unfortunately, Irish cinemas were devastated by the pandemic. Even now, theatres are only back up to 60% capacity. Today we're going to hear from three members of that sector on the resilience, furloughs and challenges they experienced. And delighted to be joined by Charlene Lydon. She's the film programmer for the Lighthouse in Dublin and Pollos in Galway. Mark Anderson is director of the Omniplex Cinemas. And Mark Doherty is the only owner of Centuria Films in Letterkenny. You're all very welcome to the programme. Mark Anderson, I might start with you if I may. Maybe you might just tell us where we're at now in terms of welcoming customers back, the 60% there I mentioned, Mark, just some of the challenges around that. Just let us into your world for a minute, operationally.
Thanks, Bobby. So cinemas reopened on the 7th of June, bank holiday Monday, 7th of June. And initially we were at 2 meter social distancing with 50 people cap per screen, which really meant we were operating at about 25% capacity, which really long term wasn't sustainable. But we reopened. It was important for the industry to reopen as soon as it could. The content was there, which is something we didn't see when we opened in 2020. And then since the beginning of September, we've been operating at 60% capacity with 1 meter social distancing, and that's really a game changer. It makes cinema now viable with the way that the cinema demands run and the number of screens that you can put a film into. That really we're now back up at a capacity that is viable, and we're looking forward to the 22nd of October when most restrictions will be removed, and any restrictions that are imposed will be self-imposed by cinema operators.
Great. That's a good overview, and thank you for that. Charlene Lydon, tell us a little bit about your cinemas and your experience for the last 18 months. And again, maybe more, we'd like to talk about the new world, which is the open cinema, back in business. How excited are you?
Oh, extremely excited. It's obviously just really difficult. The past 18 months has been awful. And obviously the opening and closing and opening and closing, really hard on the staff and really hard on everyone's morale, you know. So now it just feels like we're finally there. Reopening was great. And as Mark said, like, it's challenging with the capacities, but finally starting to feel like it's feeling a bit more normal. The audiences are a little bit bigger now, and the atmosphere then, it just feels a little bit more like your Saturday night of the movies.
And tell me this, Charlene, are you seeing any consumer changes? Is the customer any different now than he or she was 2 years ago?
I mean, I think at the moment it's still slightly weird. So people are a little bit, maybe just a little bit more nervous, or a little bit more like, get to the screen and sit down, you know. So that the lingering in the bar and the cafe is a little bit slower now. But I mean, I'd imagine that that's going to change once people get back to, you know, feeling like that building is theirs again.
OK, let's talk to another Mark now. Mark Doherty, the owner of Centuri Cinemas up there in the lovely Letterkenny. Mark, good morning to you.
Bobby, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Tell us a little bit about your experience, Mark, over the last while and just your new world as you emerge.
I think, as you've already heard, the last 18 months have been quite difficult for all cinema operators. We've been closed for quite a long period of time and then open for a short time last year. And then we're suffering the same way the other industries are suffering. Some good people have moved on to other areas and other opportunities. So that's meant that we're now, you know, looking to replace those staff and bring new staff on board. But the good thing about the movies is the movies are always reinventing themselves. We always have something new. We're always dealing with the new film, the new adventure, the new spectacular. So we're coming into that now. We're looking forward now at some of the big titles that are coming up through the rest of the year. And we're enjoying seeing our customers slowly but surely come back, slowly but surely become more relaxed about coming into our buildings and into the cinema and really getting into the cinema experience once again.
Yeah. No, that's very, very interesting. And I'm delighted for you that you are trading and things seem to be really buoyant for you. Mark, you mentioned about the demand for Q4 now, the quarter that we're entering. The big budget movies, the pent-up demand there. My own daughter's booked me in to see James Bond next Saturday and I'm really excited about it. So I haven't been to the cinema in quite a while. So what would the content, you mentioned that there was, the last time you reopened, there wasn't that richness of new material that people will be craving to see, but there is now.
When we opened in July 2020, there was the distributors, the studios, they weren't releasing much new content. They shelved everything until further down the line, or some movies were lost to streaming. So we were relying on a lot of library content and re-releases to sustain the industry. This final quarter of 2021 is completely different. Starting with No Time to Die, which is opening on the 30th of September, there is just blockbuster after blockbuster coming out. The release schedule is stacked like I've never seen it before, and it's because studios still have a schedule for 2022 and onwards, and they need to release all of their movies from the last 18 months.
So that's good news for the consumer.
It's good news for the consumer, and it's good news for cinemas, especially at a time when our capacities can start getting back to normal. But starting with James Bond, there's Venom, the sequel to Venom, Let There Be Carnage. June on the 22nd of October, which is going to be a spectacular Denis Villeneuve escapade, as well as titles like The French Dispatch, which is going to be a real offbeat and hit as well. We've put tickets on for Harry Potter, which has just gone phenomenal. It's the 20th anniversary of Harry Potter, so there are still some re-releases coming in that are really going
to... Absolutely, really that's great. That's good to hear. Charlene, back to you. Just about the marketing, I'm curious as to how you tell people about the new releases. It seems to have changed when, you know, traditionally we would have seen cinemas advertised on the side of buses or at bus stops. You don't tend to see that now. Is it all about social media in terms of getting the message out there of what's coming and when?
Well, I mean, for us, because we do often play much more indie films that don't have huge budgets for the sides of buses anyway, like traditionally. So our social media relationship with our audience is really strong. And I guess when we were closed, we maintained that really well. David Kelly, who looks after our social media, just, you know, made sure to keep that up and that we're always talking to our audience. And they're almost, I think, waiting to hear from us about what's coming down the line and what weird little film we have that they trust that will be good because we're showing it, you know. So I think building that audience trust, and we try not to fail them as often as we can, building that audience trust is great. So I think it's really important, especially for a cinema like us that, as you say, like it's not always the film that you'll see on a billboard.
Yeah. Well, that's your niche, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, we show a mix of everything, really. But we do have to have that trust and the good relationship. And we have a bit of crack and banter with people online, as well as obviously just letting them know when everything is coming out, and contextualizing things for people and being like, you know, Dune is a blockbuster, but, you know, you came here to see all of Denis Villeneuve's earlier films. And, you know, so just kind of making sure that people know that, you know, this is why we feel this is an interesting film or whatever. And having that really strong relationship online, I think, makes that really easy.
Yeah. There's a text in that says, can't wait to get back to the movies. The cinema has been such a huge part of my life. I was bereft over the pandemic. No Time to Die in Dune. Bring it on. That's from Derek in Ratmines.
What we want to hear.
Clearly a customer there. Mark up in Donegal, let me go back to you. The, I suppose, ancillary services around cinema, the popcorn, the drinks, the other, I suppose, frills that one indulges in when one goes to the cinema. Any change there post-pandemic?
Not initially. I think you'll see a lot of those, you know, old traditionals are there. I mean, how do you watch James Bond within a large coconut popcorn? It just doesn't happen. You just can't. But you will see, you know, cinemas slowly start to expand their offering. I suspect you'll start to see, you know, more cafes coming in, more coffee, you know, that sort of thing, I believe, will start to come in. But the main thing with cinemas is all about the big screen. It's all about that big picture. It's all about that big sound. And it's all about that comfy seat sitting there in the darkness with strangers and just being visually and assaulted by the picture on the screen. That's what cinema's all about.
Mark Anderson, Daniel Craig said last night on The Late Late that, you know, one of the big features around Bond is that they weren't tempted to release it anywhere else, that they kept it for cinema. How important is it to the industry that you retain that exclusivity and that they don't go to streaming services before that they hit cinemas?
It's vital, Bobby. And I mean, as important as Netflix and Amazon and Disney Plus are to the ecosystem of film, I say if a film opens in Netflix, Netflix is the place where movies go to die because they should not open in a single ecosystem environment.
Yeah.
Cinemas are agnostic. Everybody has access to their local cinema. And it doesn't matter whether a film is good or bad. Cinemas, the public are the ultimate critic, and how long a film stays in a cinema is ultimately decided by the public, because if they're not buying tickets for it, it ain't going to be retained in the cinema.
Yeah.
So cinemas are completely agnostic, and everybody has access to the local cinemas. And the real movie makers know that. They know that cinemas are the place to showcase your movie and then for future media down the line, but cinema's the place to open it.
Oh, okay, well said. Another text says, I love the diversity of experiences you get with the different theatres available, the smaller ones with niche productions and the big blockbuster omniplexes all add to the culture of movie going in this country. Great to have them back. That's from Lorraine and Tala. And again, that absolutely covers the breadth of the different, and I think our guests here today even reflect that diversity as well, Charlene. So moving on then, moving into next year, what do you think? Do you think anything will change about cinema, or will we just go back to the way it always was, and we'll just love those nights in front of the big screen with the great sound and the popcorn?
I mean, I'm sure things will change slightly, but I do hope there's a time where things start to feel like the old times or whatever. But I do think that in order to compete with what's going on online, the experiential quality of cinema is so important. So like that thing of like, you know, come have a drink in the bar afterwards or whatever, but also just eventizing things. Like we throw a lot of themed parties and encourage people to dress up and do like a themed cocktail and just encourage people to have your night out in the cinema. Because I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want to spend my Saturday night on my couch anymore. Like yeah. I'm so done with it. But it is just reminding people like, come out, there's like-minded people here, and there's, you know, come chat with your friends after about the film, or like meet beforehand and catch up with people. And so I think that is a big part. I mean, it's always been a big part of what we've done, but even more so now, because people do have that habit maybe of like, you know, I invested in a really good telly over lockdown. So why do I need the cinema? Well, the reason we need the cinema is it's communal experience, and it's somewhere to go to kind of feel like you're surrounded by people who love the same things as you do. Or that you'll have a good chat about it either way.
Yeah. Mark Doherty up there in the lovely letter, Kenny, in terms of, you know, what's going to change? Do you think there'll be much change going forward in the sector?
I think there will. Change is inevitable. You can't prevent change, and change is one of those things you either embrace and go with, or go away and lie down. Change will come. Change will come to cinemas. Your local cinema will change. It will adapt. It will incorporate new technologies, new events. It will add to the offering that it's currently doing. So all those things will come in due course to ensure that we can give the best experience we can possibly give to the customers coming through the front door. Because that's what's going to keep them coming back to us on a regular basis, that giving them the experience they want, giving them the night out, and we'll adapt as we go.
Mark, can I ask you why they ever got rid of the double seats in cinemas? They used to be in the Regent in Kilkenny when I was going up there as a young lad. Do they not fit in with the world of today?
Bobby, we're bringing them back. We've just introduced in our Omniplex in Killarney that opened. It was a pandemic baby cinema for us. We opened it in August of this year. It's a 5-screen cinema. It's an Omniplex Max, all deluxe, all reclined seats. And we've put in a row of double sofa beds just for you, Bobby.
So there you,
you need to go down to Killarney to experience that.
And again, when you look at innovation within the sector, and again, even the Stella Open Rap Mines was kind of something different, and the level of bringing, I suppose, you know, alcoholic beverages to your seat and that kind of thing. Is there much scope for that kind of niche offer at the high end?
That's the thing about the cinema industry, and that's the thing about competition. It's the spark that stops us from loafing our way through life.
It really helps
you to up your game, and that's what cinema is going to do over the next 5 years. Luxury has to be a main feature for any new cinemas and any renovations that are going on.
Do you see the market now, like in terms of new theaters? Is that going to be sort of quiet for a while in terms of new openings, or is that always changing?
After the opening we've seen the demand for cinema absolutely outstrip supply initially when we reopened. We've now restarted our reinvestment program. So we're looking at new cinemas in Mullingar, and we're just renovating a 4-screen cinema in Nina at the moment. So we're reinvesting in cinema at the moment.
And can I also ask you, Mark, about that shift to suburbia that we've kind of seen around the pandemic? Has that influenced the old suburban cinema that we used to know so well? And I know there's still a few of them. There's one in Stillorgan. But if you take, you know, the Forum in Glastoole, or these kind of, I suppose, suburban cinemas, is there a chance that they might come back?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, if you're building a cinema in suburban areas, you need car parking, and that's probably critical. Whereas if you're building in town, you don't necessarily need it because they're serviced by public transport. So there's different thrusts and requirements depending on where you decide to build a cinema.
Charlene, you mentioned earlier you're in a kind of a niche sector and a very valuable one to the overall industry. But what about your own development as a business? Would there ever be a chance that you'd go for another location, or do you see development within the two cinemas that you already have?
Well, never say never. Yeah. You know, we at the moment it's obviously just trying to kind of, you know, get back up and running, keep your head above water. Definitely never say never. I mean, I think the thing about Ireland is there is a really huge appetite for cinema, and cinema specifically, not just, you know, films. And I do think that it's an interesting point that you make about suburban cinema, but I do think people, the more access people have to cinemas, the more they'll go. So, I mean, you can never have too many. And also I think that what we do, It's something that you can only get it if you go to Dublin for a lot of people, you know, or like, you know, in Galway. And it's something that I think people really, they do travel to come to see that niche film in the Lighthouse or in Palos. And that's something that tells us a lot about the interest that's out there for people, that they'll drive to Dublin on a Saturday night to go see some mad yoke that I've decided to put on.
That's great.
It's brilliant, yeah.
Mark Doherty, you might help me with this next text, which says, with movies being released so quickly on-demand platforms so soon after theatrical releases, what do your contributors think the impact of Disney Plus Prime will be in the years to come? That comes from Christine in Cork.
A very positive influence in years to come. You know, anything that diversifies the industry, that gives us more talent. And that's what you've got to remember at the heart of all this. This is what the streaming platforms are going to do. They're going to give us more talent. There's more money coming into the making of films and making of products simply by the subscriptions that the people are paying to all of these services. So that is going to give us more product. It's going to give us more talent. And anything that does that can only be a good thing. We saw this before with the advent of video, when, you know, cinemas were dead and buried in the 80s. They were gone. Everyone was going to watch videos. complete opposite happened. What happened to put more money into the film company's coffers? They were able to produce more films. Cinemas upped their game and improved their offering, and the whole business took off again. So I think we're in that cycle once again. Anything that brings more talent is a good thing.
Well, listen, it's I'm delighted to talk to all of my three guests today, operating in a sector that's dearly loved by the people of Ireland. You can see it from the text coming in here. And my huge thanks to Charlene Lydon. She's the film programmer for the Lighthouse in Dublin and Palos in Galway. Mark Anderson, the director of the Omniplex Cinemas. And Mark Doherty, the owner of Centuri Cinemas up there in Letterkenny. Thank you all for a great discussion.
Thank you, Bobby.
And best
Thank
of luck now that you're back open. And hopefully you'll be back to full capacity very, very soon. So welcome back, as the fella says.